It's football at four. Here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Cecil Lammy sitting in for D-Mac today. It is football at four-ish. And Tommy, we heard from Vic Fangio, Rich Scangarello, Ed Donatell, Ron Leary, Philip Lindsay. Where do you want to start, man? Because we got a lot of information just handed to us over the last hour.
Which one to start with? Vic Fangio didn't say anything outside of what we've heard this entire offseason.
I did like the Chubb is tailor-made for us, though.
Was that Ed Donatell or was that?
That was Fangio.
That was Donatell.
Bradley Chubb is tailor-made for us.
He's tailor-made for a lot of teams. And then they were getting into, Donatell was talking about the 3-4, how it's important to have those outside guys being able to force the ball back inside as well as pass rush. But the 3-4, I don't know how much you're going to see it this year, their base defense. I think teams would love to get the Broncos into a 3-4 defense because it kind of takes away their strength is their nickel. I mean, we have three high-end corner slash guys that can play safety. They're very versatile back there. And we have two premium pass rushers on the outside. So it would be, there were times when we would play defenses where we would try to get them. We played the Saints one year when Mike Anderson had like 200 and something yards rushing. And we were so paranoid about their pass rush that we kept them in nickel, but we would only run out of that because we did not want to pass block those front four.
You're right.
So we put them in nickel, but we ran it. And I think if I was, I don't know personnel wise, if teams can kind of dictate that though, because not all teams have a fullback anymore. Not all teams have viable second and third tight ends that can block. But if I'm playing the Denver Broncos defense, I want to keep them in a 3-4 at all times because it's safer. Because then they don't know. They're not just automatic. They don't have green light. Vaughn and Bradley Chubb don't have a green light to pass rush the whole time because they have other responsibilities.
So to keep them in 3-4, an opponent better run the ball.
They dictate it through personnel packages too, though. And no, it doesn't mean you have to run the ball. It just means you can throw the ball safer out of that package. But you are taking a skilled guy off the offense to keep another running back or another tight end.
Or a blocking tight end.
Right.
Right.
So you're losing that advantage if you have these fantastic wide receiver core. You're losing one of those guys to basically make it safer to pass the ball, if that makes sense.
In their division,
you're losing a guy to catch a pass, but it's safer protection-wise and scheme-wise to keep the Broncos in that 3-4.
And in their division, it's probably the Raiders that are most affected by that then. If you're saying take a skilled guy off the field, I know the Chargers have a nice group of wide receivers, but they also have Derek Watt at fullback, and they also have Hunter Henry if he's healthy. So if you have a premier tight end like Travis Kelce or Hunter Henry, you're going to be fine.
And they have Sherman in Kansas City. They still have Sherman in Kansas City as their fullback?
Yes.
They can kind of go that route.
They can go that route with a fullback, not with an extra tight end, because they don't have anybody behind
right,
Travis
Kelce. I'm saying instead of the tight end, you have a fullback.
Right. The team that can't do that in this division, honestly, is Oakland. Oakland can't really do that. They've got Antonio Brown, Terrell Williams, Hunter Renfro, Ryan Grant. Like, they've got some interesting receivers. They don't have a tight end.
But they have the largest, it has to be the largest offensive line in the NFL.
Trent Brown might be the smallest guy.
Their left tackle is, he's 6'8", 6'9".
330-ish.
A massive, and inside,
Richie Incognito, Rodney Hudson.
Hudson's 300 plus at center.
Yeah, Colton Miller's probably the smallest guy. Their first rounder from last year.
But he's 6'8".
Yeah.
Your left tackle. So I like that matchup for the Broncos, though, because we're talking massive tackles that will have a hard time keeping up with the pass rushing of the Broncos. But if they're in the 3-4, that gives these massive tackles a chance to get their hands on these guys before they're able to get into the pass rush mode. But I don't know personnel-wise if they can do that. But it'd be smart for teams to try to keep the Broncos in that 3-4 almost at all times.
Isn't it funny that their weakness, so to speak, is their base defense? Usually you'd say, oh, we got him in nickel, we got him. Or, hey, we can put him in dime, we got him. Actually, with the Broncos, you can't really say that. But no. If you're in base, you kind of got him, well, especially if you have a great tight end.
Because you're taking away their strengths for the most part, because maybe Bryce Callahan isn't even on the field in base. And unless Kareem Jackson's playing safety and Callahan is one of the corners. But again, Vaughn and Bradley Chubb, their greatness is kind of diminished because of the fact that it is base defense.
And in a 3-4, you would have Todd Davis and Josie Jewell out there. And even though Todd Davis had the little pick six thing today, like Josie Jewell, you can pick on in coverage.
You can.
So that's what teams should probably be
game planning for. But their base defense isn't going to have Josie Jewell playing man on Travis Kelce or whoever the
God,
tight
I hope
end.
Not.
No. That's not they're a zone. It's going to be zone coverages. But, you know, Vaughn and Bradley Chubb, their strength is getting to the rusher. And not only that, but Bradley Chubb is primarily rushes in nickel over the left tackle, Vaughn over the right tackle. Now when you go base, Vaughn the Will, Bradley Chubb the Sam, you can dictate, you could put, I do it all day, is put my tight end or the strength of the formation to the right and make Vaughn on the left and Bradley Chubb on the right because they're not as comfortable rushing from that side of the ball. So offenses kind of dictate, they can dictate how they can attack the Broncos defense, and they can make them very, I don't want to say one-dimensional, because there's many things you can do out of the 3-4. Wade Phillips has taught that over the years. But you can make them predictable as in who the personnel is going to be.
And you can know what they do best and what they don't do best.
Right.
Hmm.
You try to simplify a defense like this. You don't want to play to the Broncos' strength if you're the other team.
Actually, what it does by keeping them in 3-4 takes away their ability to disguise. Because this defense, one thing I've seen in a month of watching practice is they love deception.
But you can do that out of the 3-4.
And do it as well, though.
Pittsburgh was notorious for hiding. Remember the zone dog blitz that came in of age in the 90s or the 2000s?
It was
Pittsburgh's defense, and they would do that out of the 3-4.
Troy Polamalu would jump over the line.
It was Joel Steed was the nose guard out of CU, and that dude used to drop into coverage. And then they would bring like Carnell Lake or some guy from the backside
of
Woodson.
It was
new and they could discuss and you didn't know it was happening. I mean, there's no way to tip it off. I mean, the guy in coverage is the nose guard and nobody's reading the nose guard or whether he's light in his stance. The quarterback surely isn't. Nobody is. So there are things you can do with the 3-4. You can be creative.
They did that with Casey Hampton, too, after Joel Steed was done. Joel Steed had the best face mask. You remember that thing?
It was like a waffle, wasn't it?
It was like the big waffle, big, huge plastic face mask.
Yeah. He was a good player. He was a good, steady player. You know, people won't remember him as much. They'd know him from CU, but he was a good, steady nose guard for Pittsburgh for a while.
He was a prototypical 3-4 nose tackle. Yeah. Did the Broncos even have that, though? Because Shelby Harris, look at their roster.
Zach Kerr is...
The only listed nose tackle is Shelby Harris.
Well, what's Zach Kerr listed at? He's
DL. I'll look it up exactly, but...
They like their... And that's what they go for. Draymond Jones is here not to play the base defense 3-4. Yeah, he can play defensive end in that defense, but he's here to rush the passer. And they like the mobility out of their defensive line to be able to play multiple positions.
Zach Kerr's listed as a defensive end, by the way.
He's 320.
Yeah. They list him at 334, actually. They've got 3-4 DLs. Mike Purcell, Deion Sizer, Deshaun Williams, Billy Winn. Don't know if any of those guys will make the team. And then nose tackle, one. You got one, Shelby Harris.
See, that's at his size, unless they make him active, meaning not the Joel Steeds of the world, where he's just a true two-gap nose. If Shelby Harris is your true two-gapper, he's going to get rolled up every play. I mean, he's going to be doubled between the guard and center at all times.
So can they be as versatile when they don't really have a Casey Hampton or a Joel Steed? If you're in base, if you're in 3-4, be nice to have one of those run pluggers in the middle. I don't see Shelby Harris as that. Zach Kirk could be that, but they don't list him. They list him as D end.
It will be interesting to see how it plays out. And we'll know Monday night in Oakland how teams – I don't think you'll see that in the preseason. But I think when you get to week one, how Oakland attacks or how they dictate the Broncos' personnel on the defensive side of the ball. Because if they're successful at it and they're and you keep Chubb and Vaughn at bay in that game, you know what the NFL is. They're just going to – it's a copycat league, and it's week-to-week copying. I mean, hell, we used to copy plays from the team that ran – we'd put in plays that the team the week before used against us. We'd put them in there because they worked. So for the next 2 or 3 weeks after the Raiders game, if the Raiders are successful in keeping Derek Carr clean, that's what teams – Chicago will do the same. Everybody will do the same thing until the Broncos can adjust to it.
It'll go on and on down the list. You got Green Bay and Matt LaFleur and that team in week three. And that's your first road game, by the way, in Lambeau. Watch out for the copycat.
Aaron Rodgers will be like, hell no, I don't want to see that pass rush.
Right. Make sure they're in base. Make sure they're in 3-4. And make sure to listen to the comments of Philip Lindsay today, talking about his role. Is it the same as it was last year, or is it different? That's next.
Now back to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Philip Lindsay talked about his role at his press conference today. And he talked about earning the trust of Joe Flacco and his coaching staff. But he says, it's all about knowing my role. For me, it's about making big plays. Okay, I got that. Is his role going to be anything different this year? Should it be something different this year?
Other than making big plays?
I get what he's saying, making big plays, but there are people with a sentiment that, you know, Royce Freeman's probably going to make a pretty big dent in this backfield.
People said that last year, too.
So what is Lindsay's role? Is it just rinse, repeat, cut and paste? Is it that again?
He is who he is. I mean, that's the type of player he is. He's kind of grinds, and then hits him with something. And I don't think that changes. He has the same running back coach, guy that knows him. And
why did they keep Curtis Modkins?
I'd assume that Inazani also, the two holdovers from the offensive staff are two coaches that had two rookie players each. And I just think it's maybe they connected. Maybe that Vic Fangio and Scangarello have felt comfortable knowing that they have a relationship already. And with young players, it's pretty important to keep some sort of continuity despite changing the offense. But you know your coach. You know how he coaches you up. You know his terminology. So I maybe that's the reason why, because they had two rookies at running back and two rookies at wide receiver. Sort of makes sense. If you feel like these guys are competent NFL coaches, why would you change it up?
You wouldn't.
I mean, look at the years they had with Courtland Sutton as a rookie from a, you know, an SMU offense that wasn't exactly NFL ready.
He ran two routes, basically. He ran a go and he ran a stop.
Right. That's about what Demaryius Thomas ran at Georgia Tech, too. So it's important to have a competent coach to coach a guy up. And I think they feel like, well, Courtland Sutton actually, no, Deshaun Hamilton's a different story. I still think there's some work to do there. But he did make a decent transition from that offense to the NFL. And you could say the same thing about Philip Lindsay.
if the Broncos
and to a lesser degree, Royce Freeman.
If the Broncos were to change Lindsey's role, and maybe you know
what
more
type
of
role are we talking about, like a third down
more,
back guy,
more pass catching,
a third down back guy, the change up back. Don't get
are they
stuck,
messing with a good thing?
Don't get stuck on the 190 versus the 230. He does not play like he's that smaller type back. He's an every down back, and I think you're missing out. The Broncos would be missing out. It's almost like we've forgotten about Philip Lindsay because OTAs have gone on. Royce Freeman is getting a lot of carries and
looking good with him.
Right. So it's almost like, oh, we forgot about this guy. Let's figure out a way to fit Philip Lindsay in there too. But you'd be making a mistake if you thought that Philip Lindsay is only a let's run him with some screens and get him out
get him in the open space.
No, you're missing the best part of him, which is picking up pass protection and getting you tough yards despite his stature.
Is Royce Freeman a rhythm runner? And I'll explain that as a player that needs to get in a rhythm to run the ball. Oh. Because if you're saying don't change Lindsay's role, and I'm there with you, right? I mean, right. It was fantastic last year. Philip Lindsay, get it done. Do it again. If you use more Royce Freeman to get him into a rhythm, because he's not the type of guy that can come in cold. I think Lindsay can. Lindsay can come in any time and make a big play. Royce Freeman needs 10, 15, 12 carries, 15 carries, 17 carries. He needs that rhythm to kind of get a feel for. Is that a real thing or is that
I
made up?
No, I think, but every running back, just the first play of the game is not what you're going to see the rest of the game. I think every running back needs to be in some sort of rhythm, whether it's a series. Royce, you take this series. Philip, you take this series. But you also need to have an offense that is allowing you to get into a rhythm. You can't be going, how many three and outs did they have last year? There is no rhythm. You run for a couple yards on first down, then you're passing on second down. Now we're at third and eight. There's no rhythm when you're going three and out.
Right.
So it's more important not so much to get Royce Freeman enough carries where he's into the rhythm of game, but it's important that these guys combined are getting 30-plus carries because you're wearing on the defense, you have the offense and rhythm, you're dictating the down and distance. It's much more important that way. I mean, you can't go 4 3 and outs in a row, and let's say Royce Freeman takes all those series, and he gets one or two carries per series, so he's got, you know, seven carries, 20 yards. Yeah, that doesn't. Just because he's got out there, he hasn't got in a rhythm. Despite being out, the rhythm becomes getting first downs, getting a third and one, getting a second and four, and moving the chains, wearing down the defense over the course of the game. The rhythm becomes natural in that you're dictating the style of the game. It's not about he can't be getting 15 straight carries, he'll be worthless at that point. NFL running backs, for the most part, don't do that. So it's going to be a nice thing to have. I'm not going to say a nice problem to have, but a nice thing to have. John Madden, when he made that quote about if you have two running backs, you don't like either or something like that.
Yeah, you don't like one of them or you don't have any.
You don't have any.
Right.
That was born out of the 70s football where it was one, you know, bell cow type running back.
But you guys only had one bell cow. And TD, I know Derek LaVille and Von Hebron, all those other guys did the things here and there. But, like, you had one guy you went to when the chips were down. You know TD was going to get it done.
Yeah, because he was our number one back. But he did come out of games not for the sake of resting him, but because he got tired, but the greatest part about him was that we could keep on rhythm despite a penetration of the nose or the three technique or the defensive end. So he could keep us on rhythm, whereas, you know, he wouldn't lose yards. So it might be second and five and it's a poorly blocked play, but we're at third and four as opposed to third and eight. I mean, there's a lot easier. It makes a lot easier to call plays at third and four than it does third and eight. It's a lot easier to block for the offensive line, so you're more apt to get that first down and keep it going.
Joe Flacco.
But I don't think Philip Lindsay's role is not going to change unless he doesn't prove himself in training camp. He goes into training camp provided he's healthy, and I think he is. I think he's going to be. I think they'll unleash him for training camp. I think he's going to be ready.
I think they'll ease him in at training camp. I think July 17th comes out, and Philip Lindsay's going to be out there. He's going to be participating, but not fully yet.
I think beginning
of August, that's when he starts getting a full.
I'd assume if he's healthy enough to go out there day one, that he's going to get some meaningful carries first day of practice. Unless he proves the coaching staff otherwise, he maintains the number one back status. And whatever style of offense we're running is a style Philip Lindsay will be running. I don't think it's a waste to use him for just pass catching. He can do it, but I think it's a waste.
I think you're messing with a good thing. If you mess with his role too much,
unless he proves to be the new Mike Kroll, who has a fantastic rookie season, and then after that was unheard of, and he completely different player. But I don't see that in Philip Lindsay.
It's happened before. Kroll, you mentioned Robert Griffin III. Like, there's been plenty of rookies who've had outstanding first seasons, and then have really duplicate that.
But that's what I'm saying. Unless that happens, then why would you change his role?
What's likely and what's possible? I don't think that's very likely. No, I don't think it's likely he falls off the map.
Assuming health.
Right. Right.
He's not going to get... He is what he is. The only thing he can do is get better when he's at this age.
Get better, get healthy. That's what this team wants from their offensive line. What is that health status and... Well, what did I see out at minicamp today? We'll tell you next.
It's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Cecil Lammy sitting in for D-Mac today. D-Mac is enjoying watching his son play baseball at Coors Field. It's awesome. What else is awesome is seeing the Broncos starting five offensive linemen out there for the second day in a row. I know maybe that doesn't sound like a big deal, Tommy, but it was to me because we have only seen this offensive line together as a starting five unit once in a month. Now we've got to see it 2 days in a row. So that's a good sign with 2 of 3 days done in mandatory minicamp.
Well, you mentioned it might not sound like a big deal, but they get the next 5 weeks off, and it would be fantastic for Mike Munchak, Chris Cooper to have actual film to go over with your five intended guys going into the training camp. It's fantastic.
It's what you want.
Just to get these guys used to playing next to each other. People think they just throw some dude in there and everything should be fine. And no, you need time to work together. It doesn't sound hard to do, but the quarterbacks all throw the ball differently. Every quarterback has a different way of throwing the ball. And it's very similar with offensive line play, where a guard may have a different step or a different hand or whatever it is when he's working with the center or tackle, or just the communication that needs to occur and getting used to Connor McGovern's calls for like Ron Leary and Dalton Risner, Dalton Risner's only been here for a few weeks as well. So it doesn't sound like a big thing, but it's huge going in, especially with all the time off they have now. So to just get 3 days in, we're assuming they're going to be together tomorrow, just to get 3 days in with your five guys. You know, there's no Don Barclay. There's no Wilkinson playing tackle,
right,
with Juwan James healthy again. And with Dalton Risner now after the draft, because they had a little mini camp in April prior to the draft. Without Dalton Risner, it's just great for the coaches to get a feel for putting their best five guys out there prior to going to training camp.
Best five guys are out there, and Ron Leary today at UC Health Training Center commented on how Juwan James is a pro's pro. Now, this year he's going to play next to Juwan James. Last year he played next to Garrett Bowles. Again, we're not going to turn this into a bash fest, but it was just interesting to note how Ron Leary's like, the best compliment I can give Juwan James is that he's a pro's pro, and he prepares, and you know what he's going to do.
Right.
How comforting is that as an offensive lineman to be like, the guys next to me, I know exactly what they're going to do in said situation.
Right. It's you want to know that the guy next to you is working just as hard. You're on the same page as you are, because you're only as good as, and maybe that has something to do with Garrett Bowles' comments of, you know, they finally got me a left guard, because I think he knows, he realizes how important it is to have somebody that you feel comfortable playing next to and can count on. I don't think he was trying to say anything about Ron Leary. I think he was just excited to have Dalton Risner next to him. And it's important for guys to know, A, who is playing next to me, and B, can I count on this guy? Because you need to rely. It's not all one-on-one. Everybody's not blocking one-on-one, whether it's run blocking or pass blocking. It's usually a combination, whether it's tackle guard, and the other side it's the center guard, or it's the left tackle guard. And it's just everybody's working together. So it's imperative that these guys are all on the same page, and being on the same page is trusting one another and trusting the guy that plays next to you. Now, Juwan James doesn't have to care about Garrett Bowles because they're so far apart that they're not going to ever communicate. But if we have a slide going right, Garrett Bowles needs to know that Dalton Risner is not helping me on this play, but the slide's coming left. I know I have inside help with Dalton Risner because I can trust him. So it's again, imperative. I don't want to overuse the word imperative, but it's vital. It's important that these guys are all on the same page.
It's incredibly vital because this team's built on running the ball.
All five guys running the ball all work in concert. They're all together. You might not think that they are, but they all are, especially zone blocking, because if I'm Ron Leary and I don't trust that Connor McGovern's with me when the guy in front of me pinches to the inside, well, then Ron Leary's going to turn back and try to block him because he doesn't feel like Connor McGovern's going to get there. And then that just leaves a linebacker free one-on-one with Philip Lindsay or Royce Freeman or whoever it is in the running game. But if Ron Leary knows that, oh, Connor McGovern's got my inside on this the run play, I know that he can get over here, then Ron Leary's just climbing up for that linebacker and creating that little seam right there for the running back to hit. And after that, you know, it's on the running backs, but for the most part, that's your job is done. But it's a trust thing with this zone blocking style. And if you don't trust the guy next to you, it's just going to create this domino effect of just, you know, leaving guys unblocked. And you don't want to do that to your running back. There's no worse feeling in the world, and it happened many times to me, where I'm going to either late or whatever it is, going to climb to a linebacker, and the dude just tees off on a running back. There's no worse feeling. And you don't even want to look. I want to turn away because...
That's not a worse feeling than getting your quarterback killed? Like, that isn't that the worst feeling?
It's the same. It's the same feeling because you watch any football game and you see a guy that's responsible for the quarterback getting hit, and they usually will turn around. They don't want to watch it. It's a terrible feeling. But imperative, important, vital for these five guys to get to start working together and get that coaching together.
Super duper big deal.
Super duper.
That's what it is. By the way, we talked yesterday about Royce Freeman's big play. Remember the bend, bang, or bounce?
Right.
And he bent?
He bent.
First play, they tried that again. It got stuffed.
Oh, probably the defense had the script this time. They knew the play was coming. Or they just got coached up well. Vic Fangio, in the opening comments, was talking about mistakes and how you expect mistakes to happen, whether it's the quarterback, the corners, line, whatever play is out there. But you expect them to correct the mistake and to learn from the mistake. You don't want to see the same mistake over and over again. Because if that's the case, then you're not here for very long.
And you've got to bank the rep. That's what Scancarello.
He said bank it.
Bank it and move on. So just put it in your mind, but don't dwell on it.
But learn from it. Don't carry it to the next play. Did Fangio say don't carry it to the next play? Learn from it, don't carry to the next play, and don't make the same mistake again.
Which player from last year has the most to prove this season? That's next.
You're listening to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
mandatory mini camp. Day two underway and done for the Denver Broncos. We got a lot of players out there with something to prove, and Brennan Langley, one of those players. If you were to pick one player as the most to prove this season, who would it be? And we heard from Philip Lindsay, by the way, who said he's got to prove himself all over again. I get that, but is there one player that stands out to you more than any other that needs to really prove it this year?
There's a lot. Joe Flacco, for one. I mean, this is a guy that was discarded in Baltimore, a guy that won a Super Bowl with that team in 2012. Garrett Bowles, DeMarcus Walker, Cortland Sutton. I mean, there's a list. There's many guys that need to prove it this year.
Who has the
most
to prove?
That's what the NFL is, though.
Who has the most to prove, though? Because Flacco's, like, known. Like, yes, I get what you're saying. He does have something to prove. It's not like he can just show up and be a slappy.
He's on a play it, a show me deal right now. I think he'd like to play longer. He wants to remain as immature as possible for as long as possible. He mentioned that yesterday about the locker room and how he doesn't want to grow up. But he's on a prove-it deal here. People are laughing at the Broncos for giving up a fourth rounder to trade for him. For me, it would be the easy one's Garrett Bowles because he's sort of underperformed, and he's also going into that after this year, the Broncos make that decision on the fifth-year option. So it could be Garrett Bowles. DeMarcus Walker has been a disappointment. Royce Freeman getting beat out by an undrafted running back. He's got something to prove. If there was, man, it's hard to pick on defense.
What about Isaac Yadam?
On the other side.
Not Gotsis. Gotsis is gone after this year, right?
He's up after this year.
Right.
And they got Draymond Jones there, so.
That's his replacement.
Does he not have something to prove heading into free agency?
For another team.
Yeah, you said Yadam?
Yeah, what about him?
A second-year guy?
Mm-hmm.
That had his season ended in injury?
Which he came back from and he played two games with.
He's become sort of forgotten.
Yeah, because the talks about Kareem Jackson and Bryce Callahan. But this is your Chris Harris Jr. replacement, and I even hate using those words, but that's...
That's not
what Yadam is.
I mean, he's not going to get the chances he had last year as a rookie in his second year, I don't think, to prove that he can play. Which I hate saying about, you know, a Boston College guy, but I just think they've upgraded their talent in the DB room so much that I don't know what's to make of him. But he's in his second year. It's not prove it, make it or break it for him, I don't think.
But third year can be, because you brought up third year players like DeMarcus Walker.
Well, and Garrett Bowles is in his third as
Garrett Bowles, third year.
See, I think people talk about the first to second year, the leap that players make, and that may be true for some players like Bradley Chubb figuring out all the offensive linemen and coming, you know, pass rushing. It took Jadeveon Clowney forever to figure out how to actually pass rush in the NFL because he was so dominant in college, he didn't really have to hone his skills all that much. But it depends on the player, but Garrett Bowles would be it. If you had me pick a player, third year, it's going to be a third-year guy. DeMarcus Walker, Garrett Bowles. That's your two sides.
Those are the two. They're the guys, we'll see what we see and we'll get what we get.
Right.
Royce Freeman, Isaac Yadam, whatever.
Yeah, they're going into year two.
And Joe Flacco himself has something to prove.
I think so.
What about Emmanuel Sanders?
Another guy going into the final year of his contract, coming off the Achilles.
Not as big of an injury as it used to be.
We talked about, like, who's safe on the team. Like, who's safe to make the team. And in the NFL, there are very few guys. It's Bradley Chubb and Vaughn, Chris Harris, Kareem Jackson, probably Bryce Callahan, but we haven't seen him play in a Broncos uniform. Offensively, you'd think Joe Flacco, if he's healthy, would be safe. Philip Lindsay, because they're paying him nothing in
Cortland
NFL
Sutton,
terms.
Because he's on his rookie deal.
Cortland Sutton, he'd be absolutely safe. Deshaun Hamilton is not safe.
No. Noah Fant's safe just because he's a rookie, but whatever. Like, but Jeff Heimer, like, if Jeff Heimer's cut,
Reisner's safe.
I'm not surprised. No, I mean, or he's if he's traded away.
He's not safe. Jake Butt's not safe. Garrett Bowles is not safe. Juwan James is safe. It depends on what happens at center. Connor McGovern, if he's not able to consistently shotgun snap the ball.
Another low snap today. It seems like every damn out there I see one. And I know Connor McGovern is working hard away from the facility in addition to at the facility.
He's always, that dude's a, he's a workout guy. So I do not doubt the fact that that's one guy that will try to do whatever it takes. He's going to give you maximum effort and he's going to do anything it takes to make him a better player.
Why are the shotgun snaps low then?
It just takes some getting used to.
I mean, he had
7.5 games last year.
I asked him earlier this offseason, like, hey, Flacco's taller. Is that? He said that doesn't change the target.
No. That has nothing to do with it. What was Keenum? Keenum was 6'4".
Like 6 feet?
He was 6 foot?
Yeah, Keenum's a little guy.
It doesn't
he is
change,
not tall.
It doesn't change the target, though. If they're low, they're low.
But
Keenum is only 6 foot tall?
Yeah. If Connor McGovern's going to snap and he's going to be a little off, shouldn't it be high? Isn't a high snap easier for a quarterback to deal with?
You'd think so.
Because he's not bending over and taking his eyes off the rush?
I think they'd prefer to have it right there every time. But
so how, if he says it's no big deal, if you say it's no big deal, how in hell do they get him better then?
It's not a, I'm not saying it's not a big deal. Because if Joe Flacco has to bend over and then, the size of the quarterback doesn't matter. You're still going for the hip, which is within a couple inches of anything.
Okay.
I'd like to know, in training camp I'll watch, if he's covered or uncovered when these are happening. Sometimes when you get a nose guard that's right on you or he's shaded and he's tight on the ball, it tends to quicken the release of the ball as you snap it. I mean, I would do it all the time. I mean, I had terrible snaps because of what was in front of me. Now, if he's having low shotgun snaps, he's uncovered and he's just sliding left or right in pass protection, that's a problem because those should be pretty consistent because there's no rush. In fact, it would be better if he didn't rush on over to one side or the other on a slide. But yeah, it's something he can clean up. I mean, Munchak's had I think he played center at some point. I think he played like every position. Like Bruce Matthews on that Oilers offensive line. I mean, he can help him with it. Chris Cooper can't because he never really played center.
Is it just like a reps thing?
Flicking a ball back.
Is it just reps? He's just got to get more reps. Got to get more time.
Well, he had damn near half the season last year at center.
Plenty of opportunity last year, and we still see low snaps today.
Yeah, I mean, if they're low for Case Keenum, they're going to be low for Joe Flacco.
Really low. So will the Broncos end up regretting not making an offer for Paradis?
They made an offer. They offered him 1 year.
Well, I mean, a real offer.
It was a weird contract.
It was a low ball, weird deal.
$9 million is not low ball. It was 1 year. That was the weird thing. They didn't want to. Carolina offered him the same money, but for 3 years.
Right.
And I don't understand. Maybe they knew something medically, but if they knew something medically, the first year would be the worst year that he's going to have. And if you're willing to pay him for 1 year for $9 million for a guy coming back from injury, you'd think that the bonus would be, well, let's give him 3 years because he'll be that far removed from the injury. It was a weird thing for them to do. It was a weird contract.
So will they regret, I mean, if these struggles continue for McGovern, will they look back and say, you know what, should have kept Paradis?
Well, I'm not sure.
1 year, 3 years, whatever.
They had Bradbury, they had Bradbury, Garrett Bradbury, who I loved coming out of NC State in the draft. They didn't have him on their draft board. So
they didn't believe in Connor McGovern.
Didn't take Eric Reed in the second round, the center out of A&M. Eric Reed's a safety.
Yeah. Are you messing with my mind there?
It's sort of like the Devin Bush at 10, they traded back, but then they never addressed middle linebacker throughout the draft, throughout free agency. They never addressed center in the draft or throughout free agency.
Then they must not see it as a weakness.
That's what I assume, is that they're okay with Todd Davis and Josie Jewell and Connor McGovern, or maybe Jake Brendel. They signed Jake Brendel, who had Chris Cooper knew him from his time in Miami, but they signed him right after that little mini voluntary April mini camp. They signed him right after that. So I was like, oh, maybe they're not happy with McGovern. But then to find out they didn't have, I'd assume, any centers on their board, they think they can make something of Connor McGovern at center. I still don't see him as a center. I'd never have.
I'd see him as a guard.
He looks like a guard. When he plays center, he looks like a guard playing center.
Now explain that.
I told D-Mac this. It's hard to explain. It's more optics. It's just the
body
look
language
of it. It's the smoothness of the center position versus the guard position. The guard is more of a physical nature to it, which is Connor McGovern. If anything, he's physical.
Yes.
There's not the physicality playing center that there is at guard, but there's more of a smoothness to it. You have to see it. If I could give you a picture of Pouncey or watch some film of Pouncey in Pittsburgh and watch some film of Connor McGovern playing center the last 7.5 games for the Broncos, you'd be like, oh, it's a night and day.
You have a guard playing center. That's what you have. Now, they drafted Sam Jones, but we don't hear anything about Sam Jones.
But he's more of a guard, too.
So what's their answer at the most important position on the offensive line? And I'm not saying that just because I'm sitting across from you, but like center is the quarterback of the offensive line.
Yeah, but don't overrate that. That's all five guys. Ron Leary mentioned it, but Ron Leary needs to know the plays as well. Because
after
the center
they
is
went
not
years with poor center play until Paradis took over. They went years. Don't give me the J.D. Walton. I know John Gruden somewhere saying like, I really like J.D. Walton. J.D. Walton wasn't a good center for this team.
There was Casey Wigman, who went to the Pro Bowl the next year.
Okay.
And then J.D. Walton. Oh, Dan Copen was here. J.D. Walton, before his ankle got put on backwards, he was a decent center. I actually liked the way he played. He's the one dude that stopped Ndamukong Suh out of college. Did you ever watch that film?
Yeah.
Baylor in Nebraska?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The dude was... He rose to the challenge.
Don't take Baylor off. This ain't college football. You said that yourself,
right?
But
it's the same guy.
Baylor offensive lineman. You don't take them.
Wasn't he
stopped in Ndamukong Suh in college.
Philip Blake from there, too?
Yes. Philip Blake was from there, and then Danny Walton was from there. Like, don't take offensive linemen. Walton was with the Eagles, though, but Blake was here. Blake's the guy that Manning made push in the chairs when he was on IR.
Yeah.
Hey, your job is to push in the chairs.
Mm. So nice of him.
Hey, Peyton Manning gives you a job.
Who was after J.D. Walton at center here? Oh, it was Manny Ramirez.
You say this with reverence. Like, these guys were fantastic.
All right, here's what I'll tell you. Manny Ramirez is a guard playing center.
Yes.
That's the difference.
That's Connor McGovern.
He looks like a guard. He's a fish out of water inside. But Mike Munchak and Chris Cooper must feel comfortable enough. Low snaps aside, that can be rectified.
Why hasn't it been rectified yet? It happened last year. It's happening today.
Because there's a lot bigger problems. They need to, let's just get five guys practicing 3 days in a row.
Okay. So we get that out of the way?
But if I'm Connor McGovern and I'm working with him the next 5 weeks and Ron Leary's going down because Ron Leary hasn't practiced a whole lot. He mentioned that he's been basically rehabbing the entire time, so he's not as beat up as those guys, but he's going to go back down to Dallas and work on his craft and start working on his footwork and things like that. Connor McGovern, number one, has a dude lined up directly over his nose and is going to pass rush him, put some pressure on him, put him in that position, and snap there, and that's it.
It's The Drive on the Fan with Tommy Nalen and D-Max, Cecil Lammy sitting in, KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver. I'm actually writing about it at 1043thefan.com. Yeah, we don't want the abrupt stop. Let us have some Motley Crue. Can you do that, Richie?
Richie didn't know how long the song went for before the lyrics came out.
This is like the instrumental version, though. Like, where's whiny Vince Neil?
Not yet.
Not yet, but he should be right here.
Oh, yeah.
And
there
it's
is.
Not.
Yeah. This sounds weird.
Because he's talking about getting high on speed. Caught funny cars. It was about funny cars. Anyway, I'm writing about it at 1043thefan.com. And I want to know if the Broncos should trade one of their tight ends. We talked yesterday about Matt LaCosse. And we're going to have our high five at 5:30 coming up. But Matt LaCosse is the Patriots' starting tight end. It's preposterous. If you're the Broncos and you have six tight ends, six, all pretty good. Noah Fant being the best.
All right, Fumagalli, the league doesn't really know about. He's coming off injury.
Fumagalli's legit, though. He's making plays.
And OTAs, nobody knows that.
True.
Jake Butt, three ACLs.
Okay, that's going to be difficult to trade.
Hireman with 4.5 cap number. A guy that's has he had one healthy season?
No. And I hate to say
Noah Fant is
not a big
getting
Jeff
traded.
Hireman fan, but you can't get rid of that guy because of the veteran depth.
So where are we who's a partner for this?
New England.
Okay, New England's going to look at the same things I'm looking at.
Make it conditional. Conditional
on passing a physical or
how many games they play. Hey, if you and God forbid it would be Jake Butt or whatever, but like, hey, here's Jake Butt. Give us a fifth rounder if he plays 10 games.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And New England cut him after 9. Because that's what they do.
That's what they do. But they got Matt LaCosse as their starting tight end. They're in trouble. And they have a history with the Broncos of kind of swapping tight ends. A.J. Derby, right? Matt LaCosse now.
Yeah, but they need a tight end for the first four games. And you're mentioning Jake Butt, and that's not it. Because when Watson comes back after suspension, they're going to be cutting a tight end.
Maybe. They already traded away Jacob Hollister.
I think after next year, this conversation is valid.
But it's not valid right now?
It's not, because
my conversation, my article.
You're talking about OTAs. It's nothing that 31 other teams can't grasp. Right? They can't. They don't have this film. They're just, what are we going by, newspaper clippings?
But it's off Twitter. It's based on what you graded them coming out of college.
Fumagalli was a fifth-round pick?
Right.
Sixth-round pick.
Fifth. So maybe someone was
high
on him.
So all these teams high on him.
Maybe.
32 times four rounds. That's been passed on. He was passed on many times.
I don't want to do math.
And the fact that his rookie year was a wash.
Well, then here's what you're going to do, man. And you've backed
next
into a corner.
Year.
No. This year. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to lose one of these damn good
tight
ends.
I don't want to ruin your article here. But
it's not even been released
why
yet.
Why would you trade for someone when you can just wait? Because you know there's a log jam there. They're going to have to make a decision. For the first time, I cannot remember when there was a log jam at the tight end position with the Denver Broncos.
Has it ever happened?
I can't think. I'm thinking the years with Daniel Graham. Man, that was a good... Daniel Graham was... He was a fantastic tight end. Man.
Talk about underappreciated as a receiver.
That dude was...
He was known mostly as a blocker, but he was a great receiver.
His hands were fantastic. And his blocking was... is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
I call it Brandon Pettigrew, even though Pettigrew came after Daniel Graham. Like, there's just certain tight ends that come into the league. Mercedes Lewis,
yeah,
great receiver, comes into the league, he's a blocker. Brandon Pettigrew, great receiver, comes into the league, he's a blocker. And so they kind of get forgotten about. But Daniel Graham was special as a receiver.
I had no idea how New England let him go.
Yeah,
when he got here, I was like, God, this guy's fantastic to watch play football. I love that dude.
So,
I call him Danny.
Danny?
He hated it.
He hated being called Danny.
Yeah.
Okay.
He went to TJ too, I think. He's from around here. Kyle Freeland. TJ.
There you go. TJ represent. So when is the last logjam at tight end? Because they have one now. Especially if Jake Butt's healthy. If we're talking about a healthy Jake Butt.
I'm trying to think the years. Do you remember the years with Nate Jackson, Tony Scheffler?
Mm-hmm.
Was Jeb Poutsier here?
Yeah.
I think we convert. Oh no, Nate Jackson was converted from receiver to tight end, so that couldn't have been a logjam.
Well, like Bug Howard was this kid from North Carolina that's been doing great work. Caught another big pass today. Like him and Austin Fort. That's the whole reason. Because we already know Fumagalli and Butt and Noah Fant, of course, and Heuerman. But those other two, those last two guys, are really good as well. So now all of a sudden, you're going to either expose them to a practice squad, somebody can steal them away if they have five preseason games. There's going to be plenty of Bug Howard film out there. You've got these preseason games. Them.
You can hide guys.
Like Mike Shanahan used to?
You can hide guys. If you think you want him, you see a future in him, and you don't want to pay a Heuerman next year, or Jake Butt's not going to come back healthy, you can hide a guy in preseason.
You know, well, you can hide a guy on IR like the Patriots do all the time. Hey, you got an ankle thing, huh? I'm totally healthy. No. Your ankle. I'm going to put you on IR.
It's harder to do now.
It is.
To hide guys on IR.
It is.
They need-
but the Patriots have a red shirt system. It's called injured reserve. They do it all the time, and the NFL lets them get away with it. But if you're the Broncos now, you have a logjam. I thought it was a weakness. A month ago, we would have talked, and I would have been like, first off, Tommy, what's up? Because I hadn't seen you in a while.
Right.
And then I would have been like,
hey, guess what, Tommy? This is a logjam at the tight end position.
They don't have any tight ends.
Oh, that's right.
That's what I would have said.
This is a month ago.
A month ago. But today, it's much different. Today, it's, what are they going to do?
Well, we're banking, your logjam is banking on three Noah Fant, and then your next three tight ends have a history of injuries. So let's, you'd risk trading a Fumagalli when you don't know if we can get through training camp healthy? It's way too early. I mean, I ain't trading any of them.
You're just going to let somebody steal them away. Get nothing for
it's
him.
A good. That's a good problem to have. That's a good problem.
Wait a second. Yesterday you said there was no such thing as good problems. Now you're saying
no,
there is
that,
a good
I
problem?
Said, there's no. It's not a good problem to have two good running backs. That's not even a problem.
Didn't but it I, is a good problem I? To have six good tight ends.
Richie, you want to fact check me on that?
I'll dig around for that because I don't think that's what you said.
At the tight end position, when three out of those six we know are coming off injuries, all three of them are from IR.
No,
it's a tad early to be trading away.
Got to strike while they aren't hot. New England's desperate now. You wait until August, they might have picked someone up already.
Sweat. Make them sweat.
Make Billy sweat?
Yeah.
So if Belichick calls up Elway right now,
why the hell we trade on the Patriots anyways? Why would you do that?
These two teams love to swap tight ends, dude. I don't know. I don't know why. That's just AJ Derby, Matt Lacoste. These guys are swapping tight ends left and right.
That's right. I forgot about AJ Derby.
Mm-hmm. Everybody did.
No, I'm not trading with New England ever. No, thank you.
Not going to do it?
Nope. No AFC West and no New England.
Did I stutter?
Okay, well, I think it's going to be unfortunate if they lose one of these guys.
If their plan lights out, you can... Let's get... Why would you trade...
How many tight ends are you keeping?
Why would you trade them right now? Let's say in the preseason, through five games, our tight ends, all six of them, are having fantastic preseasons.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be better to trade them when teams have had a chance to watch them participate in NFL football games? Or would you rather have them, would you get more value for trading them during OTAs or after the final minicamp? I want to get them on film to create a little buzz.
Are you like a hype man?
Yeah. Create a little buzz, man.
Okay.
I don't want a sixth round pick. I want a fifth round pick. Create a buzz, man.
You're like Ari from Entourage.
That's right. It's all about deception. We're going to cut him anyways, but create a buzz.
You're like Ari from Entourage if you had a flip phone. I cannot believe you still have a flip phone.
Are you hating on this damn thing?
It's awful.
I have a voicemail. My flip phone gets voicemail.
Okay.
I can also text.
That's like a child's phone. Have you seen those phones for kids?
My kids can't even use it. They try to touch the screen, thinking it's a touch screen. They don't know how to use it.
It is adorable.
Your kids don't fight over chargers. Cords, all that.
They
don't try to steal
all the time.
They don't try to steal yours.
Well, they have iPhones. I have a Note 9.
I don't know what that is.
Galaxy.
But nobody's fighting me for my charging cord.
Do they even make those anymore?
They do. Yeah.
Okay.
Government can't track me.
This is what
all the spies use and all the TV I watch. They all have flip phones.
They're like Sons of Anarchy. where they got the little burners and they break them after they do you do that? Do you have like a bag full of burners? You break your phone every time you make a call?
I don't think I'm doing anything too evil with my phone.
Okay. Not setting up deals usually, like Sons of Anarchy.
It's usually like grocery lists or something.
On your voicemail?
Can you pick me up?
Okay. You don't want to trade a tight end. I'm just saying the Patriots could use one now. You say, wait, get them on film. I get that. I don't know why you're bringing facts into this argument, but I appreciate if you didn't do that. I'm saying strike while the iron's hot because the Patriots might make a move before then.
Is this risky from the Broncos standpoint? When you have three guys off of IR and you trade, who are we trading?
Just say Jake Butt.
You can't trade. He wouldn't pass anyone's physical right now. Pick another. I don't want to trade Jake Butt anyways because I would love to see the feel-good story out of this if he comes back from the 30 ACL and goes on to have a fantastic career with the Broncos. Mm-hmm. I don't want to miss out on that.
You're like a newspaper writer. You're like, I just love the story.
Yes. Give me the fluff piece.
I want the good story. You watch the Hallmark Channel a lot, don't you?
I'm required to.
Honey, what are we watching tonight? Oh, Hallmark, good.
Yeah.
I mean, I want a good story.
No more Lori Loughlin, though.
You know what I want?
She's no longer on that network.
You know what I want? I want wins. So, sorry, Jake Budd. If someone's going to trade for you, bye.
Yeah, how does that get you a win right now? You're talking about a draft pick for next year.
Yeah. I'm always about the draft. Draft's always
a win. Yeah, but I'm all about 2019.
The win now.
Right. Forget win later. That's weak. I want to win now. John Elway, that dude wants to win now.
John Elway was out there with Archie Manning and Peyton Manning today. Did you see those pictures floating around the interwebs?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because you can't look at that on your phone?
Twitter.
Got that. Well, Peyton was out there with Archie as well. So that was good to see.
Archie visiting the grandkids.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
As Elway, Manning, and Manning. That's a lot of damn football right there. Archie's in the Hall of Fame, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Three Hall of Famers. Scangarello's looking over his shoulder. Joe Flacco. Imagine if you're Joe Flacco.
Right.
He doesn't know Peyton all that well.
Is that a thing? Like, did you not know Dermoni Dawson or whoever in your day?
Dermoni Dawson, I did know him.
So how does Flacco not know Peyton Manning?
But if Dermoni Dawson, just in past, I think he said he doesn't know him very well. But if Dermoni Dawson was at my practice and like Mike Webster, I don't know how that's possible, but if Mike Webster was there as well, and why am I picking Steelers centers? I don't know.
Because they always have great centers.
But man, if they're watching me practice, I'm like, crap, man. I don't want them watching me, judging me. I'm Joe Flacco. I'm being judged on every pass. That'd be tough. That's pressure right there.
That is a lot of pressure. Well, no pressure today for the Broncos out at mandatory minicamp day two, and the defense won. But you know
probably
why the defense won.
Because Flacco was under too much pressure, not from the defense, but from the sideline.
Because Peyton was there?
And Archie and John.
He's got Elway to watch out for him, though.
Yeah, but you can get used to that.
You get used to John Elway.
It's just John Elway.
Oh, it's just one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
It's just John Elway and Peyton Manning. Oh, it's just John Elway and Peyton Manning and Archie Manning.
That's a little different. That's a little much.
Who are they watching? You think they're watching the D-line? No, they're all watching Joe Flacco. And they're all talking about Joe Flacco amongst themselves.
They're all watching Drew Lock. Drew Lock with the pick today. Another near pick as well. And a tip pass that Juwan James
about the fact that they'd be watching Drew Lock as well. It's whoever's playing quarterback is who they're watching.
Right.
Man, Drew Lock was probably pooping his breezers there.
You got to change.
When Jay Cutler came here, his dad was watching him. He'd bring his dad to practice.
Okay.
During training camp.
What was Mr. Cutler like? Do you remember?
He was like Jay. Never has said a word to him. Never said a word to me.
No pressure for Jay, though.
No. From his dad? Man, you don't think that would be hard?
Of course it would be hard. It would be very difficult to perform with those guys watching you. But the defense won today, and there was a, by the way, Juwan James tip pass I didn't tell you about yet, where the pass was tipped up and Juwan, like, caught it, started running.
He did?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No.
I'm not, you're not thinking secret weapon?
Bad choice.
No. Stop, drop, and roll. I caught a pass from Elway.
You did?
A like, tipped pass.
A tipped pass.
Yep. Raiders game.
You're in the stat sheet.
97. Yes.
You have caught a pass from John Elway.
I took a yard away from John Elway's stats. I caught it behind the line of scrimmage. I think Chester McLaughlin, I was blocking him. He batted the pass in the air, and I sort of jumped up and grabbed it and just immediately dropped.
Negative one.
Negative one.
One from negative one.
Yes.
Aren't you supposed to knock it down? Is that what Tommy Jackson always said? Knock it down.
No, that's on a Hail Mary. That's a Hail Mary.
Tip pass, you're supposed to knock it down.
I didn't know. Chester could have got it.
You jumped up in the air. Now, if
hardly. I don't know what my vertical was, but
I was
as high as I could. And it's hard to reach up when you got shoulder pads on. Like, the receiver's shoulder pads are like these little itty-bitty things. You get the offensive lineman shoulder pads are bigger, and it's hard to, you know, high point the ball. I was trying to high point it.
Mm-hmm.
The high point kept on getting lower and lower, so I low pointed it.
You showed great my ball mentality. That's what scouts would say. My ball.
My ball?
Yes, my ball mentality.
I just didn't want to get hit after catching it. Do you know how hard they hit?
No, I don't. Thank God.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to know either. I told you about allowing these running backs to get hit by a guy who's supposed to block. It's like you don't want to look. This is nasty. I don't want that.
It's like a car wreck.
I don't want that. Mm-mm.
I want to check on this vertical, though.
So, Juwan James.
Don't do that. Don't catch and run.
Paid you way too much money.
I thought it was great. I was like, look at that.
That's because it was practice.
I'm thinking tackle eligible.
We're talking practice.
I'm thinking secret weapon. I'm thinking red zone. And you're thinking none of that.
No.
I thought you big guys wanted the ball. You wanted the glory. You wanted the recover for a touchdown.
Never. Matt Lepsis used to. He used to play tight end in our goal line package. He shook Romo like every Friday he'd shake Romo and get loose in the end zone for a touchdown. He was so athletic. But that's before he was starting. He was just like the extra guy in the goal line.
Just finding a way for him. Find a way to get him on the field. Juwan James already out there.
Do you want Juwan James catching passes?
I just thought maybe you could sneak it in.
What about this logjam at tight end?
You're only going to keep four of those.
Aren't we taking passes away from that logjam?
From
we're
Bug
throwing
Howard?
To Juwan James?
I just love the name Bug. Bug Howard.
Wasn't he supposed to be drafted?
Uh-huh. But he was a few years ago out of North Carolina.
Who was the... Oh,
Austin
Quinn. Quinn was the tight end we had for a while. Right?
Yeah, Richard. Robert's brother.
That was a bad...
Traded back into the end of the, second round to get him? I remember the lights came on, and that was my last draft at Dove Valley. I've been at New York and all over since then. My last draft of Dove Valley, lights come on. I'm like, oh, they're going to... I thought it was Lamont Jordan. I was like, they're going to take Lamont Jordan. And then they took Richard Quinn, who caught 12 passes in 4 years at North Carolina.
Could he block?
Not well. Bug Howard, though. That's the guy. And Austin Ford. And all these other tight ends. But you're only going to keep, four? How many are you going to keep?
Four at max.
I don't even know if you keep four. Because Troy Fumagalli, you could probably put on a practice squad.
You don't think he's going to get picked up? You're telling me that we're going to lose all these guys.
Well, they're going to get picked up now because you got five preseason games. Can't that kind of be a double-edged sword?
Because we have an extra preseason game?
Yeah, because you're going to be showing off guys that maybe you don't want to show off.
Yeah, it'd be terrible to have six tight ends lighted up and for four preseason games, and then game five there's multiple trade offers for all six guys. Or five guys. We're not trading Fant, but yeah, you would hate that. That's what I'm talking about. Create a buzz, man. Showcase these guys. Either showcase or hide.
I'm not used to you as a hype man. I mean, Philip Lindsay hype man beside, but
yeah, they can't have him though.
But you're saying hype up these other guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Create a buzz.
How many wide receivers are you keeping then? Because if you keep four tight ends, that means you're keeping three running backs and a fullback. You're keeping five and not six receivers.
Two quarterbacks.
Not three.
No.
Brett Rippon to the practice squad?
Nope. I'm hyping up. I'm creating a buzz for Hogan, too.
You're the hype man. You're like Flava Flav.
Hogan and the tight ends. Create a buzz.
Please tell me you know who Flava Flav is.
The rapper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's who you
Flava
are.
Flava Flav!
Yeah, that guy. Got a big clock around your neck.
Yeah.
Public Enemy. I've seen him twice. Okay, hype man.
I'm hyping him. Why not?
It's what the preseason's for, right?
Showcase Hogan.
I don't think anyone's biting on that. In fact, every time I see Kevin Hogan take a rep, I'm like, why isn't that Drew Lock? What are they waiting time? Why are you waiting?
Is he getting... How are the reps split?
It's almost 95% second team Kevin Hogan.
No. How many reps are the third team getting? Is it even? Ones, twos, threes?
Yes.
So what's... Who cares? Who cares?
Because he's going to be working with better players.
The same amount of reps.
But better players. Drew Lock is the guy you want to take a longer look at.
Better players, but he's throwing against better players, too. Like, the defense is better as well.
Yeah.
Let's keep the training wheels on him for as long as you can.
Why? I want to see what the kid can do.
I'd like to see him progress. I don't want to throw him against the two defense or the one defense and have him just collapse. I mean, he's got Archie and Peyton and John looking at him already.
That's good pressure. The pick that he threw today, with Todd Davis basically ripped it away from Devonta Jackson. So I don't think it was really a pick, but that was against the first team defense. Obviously, Todd Davis was out there. So you got a little Drew Lock out there, and he did get some second team work, and then he threw a pick.
So twos against ones.
Yeah. I'm saying and this sounds cruel, and I know it sounds cruel, and I don't mean to be personal or cruel, but you're wasting time by giving Kevin Hogan second team reps. You just are.
Not if the reps are equal. I don't see the harm in it. If everybody's getting four reps, if the ones are getting four, the twos are getting four, and the threes are getting four, let's just bring them along slowly. Why do we have to? The plan isn't for Drew Lock to play in 2019, so why do we have to hurry his development?
Because you're only keeping two quarterbacks.
Well, I'm only keeping two. I don't know what the Broncos are doing.
You're going to tell the Broncos
Rippon,
what to
Rippon
do.
Will be on practice squad.
Yes,
you'd assume,
and Hogan will be gone. You'll hype him up, and he'll get traded for seventh rounder.
Well, we're going to hype him up more than that. He's going to be thrown to all these, this cascade of tight ends that we now have. He's going to be throwing all these guys all over the place come Canton, Ohio.
Just wait, wait till you see these tight ends. You're going to love them. You're making fun of me now. I know. I feel it. I feel the needles.
Bug
Howard.
Bug. That.
Come on, Bug. Get it done.
Bug, a character in... Uncle Buck?
I think you...
Bug?
You're not a gnat, are you, Bug?
Gnat.
Okay. Vic Fangio with some very motivational and inspiring comments about Bradley Chubb. We'll tell you about them next.